Welcome to Circles Off, episode number 62. Jason Kelsey.
Oh, wow. 62. I don't have a rebuttal for that one. That's tough.
Do you think I actually knew that or did I look it up?
You probably knew that. What was William Nylander on the Leafs before he switched his number? 62 or 63 on the Marlies, but he never actually came to the Leafs with that.
I don't know. That's beyond my comprehension.
Zach, look that up real quick. William Nylander, Toronto Marlies.
Off the top of my head, like.
Was he 62 or 62?
I don't know what other athletes I can think of. 62
was probably. Maxima Finneganov?
Well, maybe.
He has one nasty if you remember, goal.
Yeah. Probably baseball. Like, it's probably some famous baseball players with 62. That's what I would say is probably the most common.
Johnny, 62 with the Marlies.
Wow. William Nylander on the Toronto Marlies.
I really tried to show off some sports knowledge, and I got one-upped so hard in the intro.
Oh, I don't really know. I don't know if that's one-up. Like, no one has that jersey. It's nothing. It's just a minor league team. Anyways, what's up, Rob?
It feels like forever since we've recorded a podcast.
Yeah, listen, because we recorded 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, secret's out. I mean, we pre-taped with Chris Bennett, which was a great episode. Got a lot of good feedback. I don't listen to a lot of our episodes. I don't like hearing my... I like my voice being heard. I don't like hearing my own voice. But I did listen to that while I was driving to Chicago because a lot of people were messaging me and they're like, oh, this is like really, really good interview. And turned out to be a really good one. However, it's going to be a different episode today.
Well received, by the way, that last episode. Thanks everyone for the feedback. If you haven't checked it out yet, please check out episode number 61. Chris Bennett, director of trading for MLB and NFL over at Circa Sports. And it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to talk to him, and I'm glad everybody liked it. But yes, different episode this week. Go on, Rob.
This is going to be our first ever reaction video, I would call it. So I'm driving to Chicago with my wife. Before I get the commentary of like, oh, you know, Pizzola is so poor, he's got to drive to Chicago or whatever. Please recognize what airline travel is like in North America right now, especially Canada going to the U.S., absolute disaster. So Joey Knish, who I know listens every week and who's going to make some sort of stupid comment about this, I drove to avoid that for one. But it gave me a lot of time on the road. You know, I get to a rest stop, I'm stretching my legs, and I check my phone, and I got like, no exaggeration, we'll put up the screenshots, got like 4 or 5 Twitter DMs of like, Pizzola, you're never going to believe this podcast that dropped. You have to give this a listen. Can, instead of doing tweets that trigger us, can you do podcasts that trigger us? And I'm getting all these messages. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, oh, Ross Tucker podcast. I know Ross Tucker not well. He probably would never remember me or anything. But when I used to work at The Score back in the day, I was a producer for Hardcore Sports Radio. We used to book a lot of football guests. Joe Fortenbaugh was a big one who worked for National Football Post at the time. And when we couldn't get Joe Fortenbaugh, we got Ross Tucker. So I had a lot of communications with Ross Tucker. I'm like, oh, what could Ross have possibly said that was like major issue here? I read the episode description. Ross Tucker had on Simon Hunter of the Action Network.
Professional sports better.
Simon Hunter of the Action Network. I proceeded to listen to this podcast. 24 minutes. We don't have to listen to the full 24 minutes and react here because some of it's like divisional, you know, team previews of this year. Almost drove my car off the road several times. My wife literally turns to me and says, why are you breathing so hard? I'm like, are you listening to this? She's like, yeah, what's going on? I'm like, oh man. So today's episode is going to be devoted to reacting to this. Johnny has not seen this yet. So
I've seen some clips. I'm not going to lie, but today what we're going to do is react to the full thing, which will be awesome.
So by popular demand, episode 62, we're reacting to an episode from Ross Tucker's podcast with Simon Hunter. Hit it, Zach.
How many views this thing have?
That's a good question.
Check the views on this, Zach.
I'll pull it up.
Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Actually, pause even before we start.
Vegas,
here.
Baby.
It's gonna be better.
Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik. As I was watching this or listening to this, I will say I've also watched it once since because I wanted to see Ross's reaction. But if Fezzik was here, I feel like this would have went very, very differently. This podcast. very differently. I'll get into that a little bit afterwards, but keep that in mind because usually this is Ross.
Wait, well, we haven't even given the proper background. Basically, this guy on here, the guest on here, talks like a lot of a big game about a bunch of stuff. And a lot of it really just doesn't make much sense. So what we're going to try to do is break it down, maybe try and comprehend potentially what's going on here. I don't know if we'll be able to do that. In fact, I'm positive we will not be able to do that. But we can share some thoughts and then just break it down. Now, again, not trying to call out any individuals or like, you know, make anyone feel bad, but I feel like this is a very good, entertaining segment. And I think a lot of people could learn from basically breaking down bullshit when they hear it now and then potentially being able to replicate this and see other guys who might be lying through their teeth and go at that. I mean, we can't even hear that. Well, cut this part out. I don't want to call him a liar, but I mean, listen. He did say he gets paid in sports memorabilia for a major syndicate. He's getting paid with this Rob Gronkowski ball. 17 units, and then the guy's like, here's his PSA-graded Rob Gronkowski football.
I will say this. Obviously, we bet. We're pretty successful in betting. I'm not going to say, I win on everything I do. I've had prolonged losing stretches. It doesn't matter. I think in any profession where you dedicate a lot of time to your work and you're successful at it and someone misrepresents themselves in that profession, it's going to frustrate you. Like if you're a doctor, for example, and then someone just comes in and tells you how to operate on a patient who's like never done it before, you're going to say, buddy, the hell are you talking about? And this happens in every profession. So I think it's fine to get triggered by this stuff because like we're passionate about it. I also don't want people to be misled. Like I hate that. That's what I hate the most when people are misled and they don't know any better.
Wait, but didn't you lose your edge and that's why you joined Betstamp?
That's apparently so. I haven't posted a screenshot of last week either. It was another good one. So I have more ammunition in the bank for when people come after me. Yeah,
for anyone who didn't see what we're talking about.
Check out my Twitter.
Check out Rob's Twitter. Someone, a couple people, I guess, were calling him out, and then someone they triggered him by saying, hey, Pizzola, is it true that you quit, that you started working at Betstamp because you lost your edge in sports betting? And Rob basically, I just put that guy in the coffin, but I'll let you guys go check out the tweet.
All right, Zach, hit it.
Simon, what's up, man? How are you?
Good, brother. I'm an anxious guy at this time of year. I'm just getting ready for football. All I can think about is about football, but you know how it is. These are times of year you're trying to kill the days, spend time with family, and make up what you need to, just as far as you're going to disappear for about 6 months.
Yeah, let's talk about that, okay? So we've talked about this before because you've been on the show before. But listen, we get new listeners all the time, new YouTube viewers, and maybe they forget from a year ago because you were on about a year ago talking NFL win totals. So just give them your background, Simon, and what you're doing now professionally, because I know it's not just media. You also are part of a syndicate, so just give them the rundown.
Yeah, I started betting with a syndicate about, I might be like you, buddy. I think 10 years come pretty fast, but this will be, and I'll be entering my 10th season betting professionally. So I started off as a runner for 2 years, worked my way up to be one of the lead guys in the group I work for, betting NFL, and that's what I specialize in. So there might be, man, we bought a couple other syndicates over the last 3 years.
Yeah,
there might
be about
100 guys I work with now, but luckily I'm still the only one that does NFL for my group. So it's a high-pressure job, Ross, as sure as a lot of people understand with their line of work, but I love it, and pretty much ventured into media. I mean, I think they legalized it in 2018, New Jersey. And I moved back here right around then from Las Vegas and basically, started doing shows with Chad Millman, who works for the Action Network. And we started, he had a show called The Favorites. I joined him and I would do maybe a 15-minute hit, just giving out picks. And it's kind of turned, I would say, really crazy how big everything's gotten in the media with sports betting since more states have come online. I'm sure you experienced it, Ross. So I kind of went from this shady backroom guy as a sports bettor to, Ross can see me now. I'm clean shaved. I do media hits. I try not to curse as much on Twitter at people. I'm slowly getting better at it, but I'm still at my core. I'm always looking for the edge. I'm a sports bettor at my heart. So for me, it never doesn't matter how big I'll get in media. I always want to be sports betting and working for a syndicate. So it's been cool experiencing both worlds.
So I've got so many questions just based on as you saying that right there.
Lots of
so,
questions immediately.
Wait, pause, pause,
these are
pause.
Things I don't know.
Pause, pause. By the way, up to date, he currently hasn't actually said anything bananas except for the part where he said his syndicate bought up a few other syndicates. Yeah. But other than that, he's actually currently hasn't
said anything. Well, he's given his background, which is very important for the listener to understand the context of what someone does. So he was a runner for a few years, meaning that he was betting on behalf of other people at sportsbooks, getting money down for other people, essentially for those that don't know. And then he used that and eventually worked into a higher position where he was, I guess, still betting, but he was maybe giving out what the picks were supposed to be or whatever, betting mainly NFL. So that's a context we got so far. Definitely when I'm listening to this the first time, thing that stands out to me right away was the buying out of other syndicates, which we'll get into.
If I'm interviewing him, my first question right off the bat is going to be, hey, so you mentioned you bought a couple other syndicates. How would that possibly work? So hit the roll.
So how does one betting syndicate buy other betting syndicates?
Oh, man, Ross.
What's the value in doing so?
Like, how do we buy guys out?
Yeah, like, I guess, how does a syndicate buy other syndicates?
Either they want to step down, like the guys who are running it. They're just like, you know.
Oh, okay, so it's the guys who are running it don't want to be the ones placing the bets anymore.
Yeah, there's just so much drama.
So they're basically selling you their clients.
Their clients and the guys who work under them, which is like, you want to, like, if I have, say, five guys on my team that does NFL, it's the best. Like, I'm all about adding more smart guys who are established. Because there's just not that there's so many frauds out there, but it's really hard to be consistent, especially in NFL. And when I get a bunch of different guys telling me different information, it's the best because I don't have all the answers. I'll tell you right now, like, I am constantly learning. That's learning. That's been a huge advantage to me as a sports bettor. It's like every year I adapt to the league, and COVID really magnified that. I mean, we had a whole season of no fans. That was major adjustment. That was a big learning thing for me where it took me a little bit to catch up to it. So yeah, the buying of syndicates actually is pretty rare, but it does happen because guys just want to move on in life. You know, like the guy I work under, Bob, I mean, he might be 73 now. It's like, how much longer is he going to still be doing this? But he's addicted. He doesn't even care about the money. He just loves the rush. So he's one of those guys where I can't sell him selling our group.
Pause it for a second.
So
do we still have any idea what the buying of syndicates is?
No, he didn't even mention this.
He said it's pretty rare. Some guys want to get out of the business, but I've worked with groups. You can call the group a syndicate. You can call whatever you want, right? To me, I've seen guys just disappear. They say, I'm done. I'm retired. Sure, maybe they're runners. They'll go on to work for someone else. Have you ever heard of the buying out of another group?
Personally, no. I'm not saying it's impossible.
I agree.
But like, I don't really know what you would be buying other than maybe like,
are you buying IP? Like, are you buying their models or stuff like that, or accounts?
People, like a staff. I guess, listen, it's possible. In this scenario, he obviously hasn't answered it. He also did say he recently bought a couple syndicates. So that would even be even more rare. Like, you're buying two, three. Okay, go ahead. Keep, because I think he goes into a little bit more from the clip I saw. Go ahead.
So let's talk about the syndicate for a second. Okay. So there's 100 people you work with, which means 100 people that buy in, that put their money in?
No, there's about 100 other guys that do what I do, which is we make bets, we have clients, and like we pull money together. Like, I just hit really big on the NBA Finals. I don't know as much. I watch basketball, but I watch the Sixers. That's as far as my NBA knowledge goes because I work in this group where, like, okay, the guy I work with, he gave out the Warriors early on. Like, I'm in that email. Like, again, it's funny that we still do AOL email, but that's where the group is done. And he'll just keep sending out different tiers. So he'll say, okay, tonight Golden State, their bet's a tier one. That's like, you want to bet pretty heavy on that. Other nights, like one night he was on Boston, he was like, or the under. It was a tier three play. It was a lower play. So that's how I give out those picks on my own show because I don't know stuff. Like, I don't know the NBA like that, but I know this guy, he's like me. He's putting 80-hour work into that.
Okay,
stuff.
Pause. Yeah, there's so much to unravel here. I'm getting really tilted.
Okay, first off, this is not a syndicate. This is just a standard tout service.
That's what I was about to say. He's got a bunch of clients. What syndicate has a bunch of clients?
He's saying he's literally describing actually a tout service down to the thing where he says tier one, two, three play. That's just, you know, oh, hey, yeah, a 5-unit big bomb banger, max bet. Oh, this is a 1-unit half wager. And then he goes on as far as to say, now this is actually pretty comical, that he uses AOL Messenger.
No, he didn't say that. I'm going to defend Simon Hunter's reputation. I think they're using AOL email address. Comes from an AOL email.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
If someone out there is still using AOL Messenger, then there's a real problem.
He's getting an email tip.
Yes.
Tipster.
Yep.
Tout. That's what they call it in the UK. Tipster. Mm-hmm. And he's getting tips. So when he says, I hit big on NBA because a guy gave out the Celtics, he's literally just... He's part of a group, so I'm assuming he doesn't pay for it because he's part of some master tout service. So he's like, I'm touting my NFL picks. So I get your NBA picks. Exactly. And you can get my NFL picks. Right. Crowdsourcing touting.
Yes. That's what it sounds like to me. That's the first impression I got. So as soon as he mentions clients to me.
Okay, but if he just thinks that is called a syndicate, that's probably, you know what I mean? It's fair because we don't own the term syndicate. Most people in the betting space would consider it something different.
Agreed.
But in the event that he's just misusing the word or he has a different definition of the word, then he's actually fine. He just runs a tout service with a bunch of guys. Hit it.
No, it's 100 guys who, we have a woman I literally just had lunch with this over this weekend. She's a house mom. She's a mom with 3 kids. She's our cricket expert. This woman, you would never know. She looks like a hippie with her glasses. So, yeah, man, it's all people wouldn't even know. She's your next door neighbor. You have no idea this woman deals with hundreds of thousands of dollars.
All right, so I guess my question is, let's say I want to be part of the syndicate, not from a knowledge standpoint, but from a money standpoint. I want to put money in.
You want to be a client.
How does that part of it work?
See, stop that right there. You see what his response was right away? I say I want to put money in. He says, so you want to be a client.
It's a tout service.
Yeah, it's not because obviously, listen, there's people who reach out to me all the time and they're like, how can I get in on your bets? Can I just give you a certain amount of money? And when you go bet it, you just
bet a little extra for me.
And I say for some sports, we're betting to our max. We're bet. So there's actually no room to cut you in because I'm working with other partners already divvying up a share. But he mentions it as a client. You want to get the plays, you want to. It's essentially the nomenclature he's using is around getting the picks for a fee, rather than getting a part of the bet.
Yeah, he's like, you want the picks, you want to be a client. Yeah. I will sell you.
Yes,
a client.
I also just want to say too, this is about the fourth time I've watched this.
Okay,
the video.
Yeah.
So if you're not watching the circles off and you don't normally watch, this might be a good one to watch because I'll include this video in the actual YouTube. But this is around the point where you can tell, and Rob even had talked to me about it prior too, you can tell by Ross Tucker's facial expressions and stuff that even he is kind of what is going on?
That's what I felt. I mean, obviously, I actually haven't watched another one of Ross Tucker's YouTube video. So I don't know, certain hosts have their style. Maybe some tune out, maybe some can listen, but they're focusing on other things. But you could tell off the bat immediately when he mentioned the buying of other syndicates, Ross took note of that. He's like, I'm going to hit him on this one. I'm going to ask him another one. As the interview goes on and we'll listen to it, I found the follow-ups got less and less and maybe he was tuning it out more and more. I don't know if he maybe picked up on something of a lot of this doesn't make sense, but a lot of this doesn't make sense. We'll keep going.
I would vest you. You would have to give your social, your driver's license and things like that. And, they'd probably do a nice little background check on you, see if you're working for other groups or see what you're up to. And then you'd pretty much put on a waiting list. And once you're approved, they would add you to, if you wanted to work on, if you wanted to get my plays, they would add you to the list if someone wanted to drop out. But I haven't lost a client in 5 years and I just doubled the price and they all read up. So it's kind I think it's one of those.
I actually missed that part a couple times too. So now it's all clear.
It's somewhat clear because he still says that in order for you to buy his picks, you have to submit him a social and an ID, which why would he need that?
Yeah. I mean, there's
unless he's setting up accounts, but yeah, he wouldn't be doing that.
I don't know. There's a lots of reasons you might want to listen. The nature of the business we deal with. If you got guys that can do a quick lookup on a guy, you might want to make sure that they're not law enforcement for some reason. If you're doing some sort of activities that I'm not saying I've ever done this, but I'm just putting two and two together of why you'd want to do a background check on a person for the most part. But right away, he says that he doubled his price for this year. That's.
But you said he hasn't lost a client in 5 years.
That's and he doubled his price.
Well, why doesn't he just have more clients?
Or why doesn't he?
Oh, they talk about that. Don't
go,
worry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Not right here. I don't know, but they talk about
okay.
it.
All right. Let's okay. go. Let's hit it.
You get in, you don't want to leave it. And you know, it is. I mean, over COVID, all these guys who bet under me, like bet my plays, they're all these guys' value and how much money they have went up tensefold. I mean, these rich people got way richer over COVID. So that's why I upped my price because it was like, you know, there's a recession. Not everyone's going through a recession, but everyone kind of is. You know what I mean?
Does he say how much he charges or not? Like,
no. I took a risk. I wanted more money. And by the weekend, every person signed up for the upcoming 2022 season. So I'm in a good spot with that.
So do they only do NFL or do they have to do everything or they can pick and choose their sports?
Pick and choose. So like I only take on 100 people. I wish I took on more, but they're a little old school. They don't want me to have a bigger list.
What for again, what?
That's something the toning?
I wish I could take on more. Why don't you just take on more clients? When you're just selling pigs or useless garbage.
They, who I'm not clear on who they is. So there's somebody above him.
Big brother.
They do not want Bob's. Yeah, he works for Bob.
Oh, sorry, Bob.
Thank
Bob.
You.
He's 73.
Bob is 73. Works for Bob. So they is Bob and presumably someone else who's above him does not want him to have more clients.
If he's okay with 100, then he's okay with 1,000.
But, okay, now this is public and it's out there, so we can talk about it. He said all this stuff under his own. If you didn't want somebody to have more clients, you're probably running an operation that's not kosher.
But what do you mean?
Like, they're doing something where they don't want to cause a stir.
But, dude, they're sending out NFL picks to 100 people.
I don't know what's going on.
Why? There's no. There's literally no reason for 100 to be the max. 100 can't be a reasonable max.
But I know what Rob's saying, though, too. Like, tie in now the social security number and your ID.
Right. You putting the pieces together here?
No, I literally have zero clue what's going on.
I have no clue either. But nobody I'm trying knows. To decipher here why you would need to do background checks on people. Then you're trying to keep the operation as small as possible, and you're selling picks. Like, either this is run by, you know, some gangsters or something who just don't want the...
No, I don't even think it's that. I wouldn't even say that.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to decipher just as much as everyone else.
At this point in the video, what I think is happening is he has a tote list and he sells picks. And
he's
I think, honestly, that's it. Yeah, I think that's it.
It's a bunch of made up stuff.
No, I know. There's definitely a guy, Bob, 73 years old, but I just don't know if that guy maybe had started the tote service and then gave this guy clients or something. Maybe, but like, in terms of like why you would want it, just to me, it wouldn't make sense as to why you would cap it at 100 clients for a tote service if you're getting paid clients.
Also, especially if every single client, if you're saying you every single client is re-upping and everybody's doubling and there's people asking to get in. What? So logically speaking,
100 people having your NFL pick is the same as 1 million people having your NFL pick.
Agreed. But so now what I'm saying to
if
you,
it's a valuable pick,
what
I, it's not the same thing.
What I'm putting out there is why would you ever want to restrict the amount of people? It's just restricting the amount of money. Yeah,
this whole video doesn't make sense though. That's why.
All right. Okay, let's see why they don't want him to have more than 100.
About constantly because I want more money like anyone else.
Of course.
Yeah. But I get it. These guys are old school. There's a way it's done. So they keep the clientele small and secure and there's a value to that. But well, yeah, I would say the most you can have is 100 per sport.
Per sport,
and football is easily our biggest sport. NFL, college, those are the two biggest ones. Internationally, cricket, soccer, NBA, those are probably the biggest ones. But for here in America, it definitely goes NFL, college football, and then baseball is our biggest charge for like selecting picks.
So,
they saying charge
you said
for
earlier, selecting? You said it's a high pressure job.
Yeah.
Talk about that. There's 100 people you work with. You're the only one. Who bets NFL?
Well, I got guys under me that they bet it, but they're not they don't put out the list. Like they don't put out the plays. When it all comes down,
they don't release the tote. They don't release the tote plays
playing that week. Again, I go
Okay. He's got guys under him.
He releases the players.
That bet it, but they don't put out the list. So he's just got clients who he's literally releasing the picks to that are just going to bet it.
Like, I wouldn't... Listen, everything I'm saying right now, maybe, maybe that's true. You're getting a real live reaction. I'm still very confused. I'm hoping, obviously, that within the next 10 minutes...
But I think it's clear cut at this point.
I mean, I'm not... I don't even know what's going on.
I'm using exact words. I'm not the only one who bets NFL, he says. There's people under me that bet NFL, but they don't put out the list.
Yeah, they just get the plays sent to them and they bet them. Yeah. Maybe is what he's inferring.
Yes.
Okay.
Through all this stuff with these guys, there's certain weeks where, I'll take senior role. I'll be like, no, like we're taking this dog here because I hate betting favorites. But if a guy gives me enough reasons, I'll take a favorite.
No.
There's just always such value in the dog and taking the money line.
No, there isn't.
So
pause. So you're telling me this guy, who, by the way, we can pull up his old videos of what he said on some other stuff.
I think we might have covered this.
This is an absolute troll, though, because how is he saying that he's running the NFL plays? He's the big dog running NFL plays, hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds of people, syndicate, and then goes as far as to literally just say what he just said, which was, I mean, I can't quote it because it's just...
There's always value in betting the dog's money line.
And I hate betting the favorites.
I hate betting the favorites, but if you give me a reason to bet the favorite, I will.
Yeah, he said... And on top of that, too, he says, sometimes I take the senior role and say, no, this is what we're betting on.
You picked up on something I didn't. What does that even mean? Sometimes I take the senior role. Because he's saying, he did mention that sometimes he like kiboshes other picks and being like, no, we're doing...
I'm in the blender right now.
Let's see if we can...
I have no idea.
Baseball is our biggest charge for like the rewind picks.
So... One of the things you said earlier, you said it's a high pressure job. Yeah. Talk about that. There's 100 people you work with. You're the only one who bets NFL.
Well, I got guys under me that they bet it, but they don't put up the list. Like they don't put out the plays. When it all comes down to, I'm the one that dictates what we're playing that week. Again, I go through all this stuff with these guys. There's certain weeks where, I'll take senior role. I'll be like, no. Like, we're taking this dog here because I hate betting favorites. But if a guy gives me enough reasons, I'll take a favorite. There's just always such value in the dog and taking the money line and underdog. So,
I might have caught up on something here. I think what he's saying is members of the syndicate, aka his tout list, can send him suggestions.
You're saying like a guy under him is like, cappers. What do you think of Cowboys this week?
Oh, you know what I think it is? You know how like tout groups? Okay, you know how tout groups sometimes they'll have like different touts? That way, like, they could be like, this guy's hot this week. Check out this guy. So they probably have
the animals, you know?
They probably have a few different touts. Yeah, the animal crew.
Yeah, the farm
animals. They probably have a few different touts. And then, so he's the head tout for NFL. He's calling the shots for NFL. He releases the plays to the client list. Mm-hmm. But other people could obviously be like, give me the Chargers this week. And he'll be like, no, they're a favorite. Next.
I'll occasionally take a favorite if you give me a good reason to. It's like, how about like the line is 3 and it should be 4.5? That's a good reason to take the favorite. No? Like if I don't.
Okay, keep going. This is great.
It's actually
stress of it's good. Delusion streaks. Everyone's going to lose. Like,
of course.
As a pro, I'm used to that. I know that. But I feel like the thing, what I'm so great at is it's never more than 2 weeks. And especially during the NFL season, I've never had back-to-back, like really bad losing weeks.
He also did just say,
never more than 2 weeks.
Never more than two weeks. I've never had 2 weeks.
No, he said he never had back-to-back bad losing weeks. So like he probably lost a couple units. Nothing bad. Go ahead.
But it does happen. And like I've had losing months. I mean, last year I had a really bad October, which is very rare for me.
Stop. Please stop right now. I've never had back-to-back bad losing weeks. Followed by about 10 seconds later, last year, I had a really bad October.
And preceded by, it's never more than 2 weeks.
It's not. Now, I will give him credit. I will say, October 2021, there were at least 5 Sundays. If there were only 4 Sundays, this story is actually impossible. Technically, what he's saying is possible. He might have had like a really bad
third and fifth week. Exactly. Okay. Listen, it checks out.
It checks out. So listen, I mean, it is possible. Can't call a full BS on that.
But did you actually go back and look?
I got the calendar up right in front of me, October 2021. I knew this was coming. I knew that part was coming.
Nice. Yes. Okay.
Go ahead.
But luckily, November, December, the playoffs were incredible for me. So that stuff's like, that's what it's all about. But when you're in the thick of it, like you're in the middle of this football season and you're losing, and it's cold here in New Jersey, man, the air smells terrible. The food tastes awful. Your life is just terrible. But then once I start winning again, it kind of brings it back. But I think that's, you need to be that kind of way to make it in this business. You kind of, you can't be like, oh, it's all good, I'll get it back. No, you need to kind of suffer and be like, instead of putting 80 hours in this week, I'm putting 85.
Spread investing.
Please.
Trying to get this locked down. So for me, it's, again, the money's awesome, but it's definitely about the feeling of being right on a Tuesday for a game on a Sunday is the coolest feeling in the world. Like sometimes lines will open and I'll know literally on a Monday, like that's a trap. The whole public's going to be betting this one side. And I'll all week will be betting consistently the other number, and I'll just keep getting good value. And the sports books will never know it's me because I'm such a small, bets at a time. They won't know that I'm taking advantage of.
No, we got to rewind that.
There's actually way too much that just happened there. I actually don't even remember what I wanted to react to first because I got so triggered immediately. What was before the public betting stuff? Oh, man. Something sent me for like a
we didn't pause it quick enough.
I can't even remember now because
it's the losing streaks. Hey, rewind it. Oh my god, man. He's literally said that he keeps betting slowly but surely against the public and he keeps getting good value, but that would literally just mean he keeps getting bad value. He just keeps betting the number, like if it's still available and he's keep getting better number every time, that he's getting bad value in his previous ones.
Yes, agreed.
But they'll never know it's him.
Oh, you know what he said? It was something about the 85 hours a week. If anyone thinks that they're like, when you're in a slump, if you put in like an extra 4 or 5 hours the next week, it's going to change things. It ain't going to change things. Listen, there's working hard. Listen, you can work hard and make money by working hard. And I don't think anyone who bets on sports would say that they don't work hard. But this is not something where it's like, oh, rough stretch. Going to get up a couple hours earlier. Going to grind a little bit harder. Like
what is he doing in those 5 extra hours?
That's
and
what
why,
I really
And why is
know.
He not doing that every week then? That's that much more profitable.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. But the public betting stuff. That's how you already know that this is... I mean, for lack of a better term, like Mickey Mouse operation, because you would never, ever, ever see someone who seriously bets the NFL at a high level who would even care about what other people are betting, at least from a public perspective. You'd care about what other people are betting because you want to time your bets always. And that's important because you're always looking for the best to get the best of the number. But like the whole notion of a trap of the books putting... We had Chris Bennett on last week. Okay. The whole notion of a trap line, the guy's like, yeah, some days I just come in. I'm like, I just literally say, this is the number.
And he's posting NFL lines for one of the three market makers.
Literally one of the market makers is saying, yeah, you know, sometimes I come in and I just like, I think that one's off. We're going to move it a little bit and whatever. Like the whole notion that odds makers put out trap lines, I don't know where this started. I don't know how it's continued. I don't know how people still bet into this stuff. I mean, every content publication puts stuff out there in regards of the public betting percentages. So I can see why nobody knows that it's nonsense. But for those watching, it is absolutely nonsense.
So hold up though. The part that he says about that he keeps betting a little bit at a time throughout the week is also hilarious, because he's probably getting like, if he has to bet, how much are you betting that you have to bet a little bit at a time? Let's be realistic.
Okay, first and foremost, here's another thing that we know from experience, right? Most of the soft recreational books, the non-market makers, they're really only moving their lines based off of the market makers for the most part. We can't say that with absolute certainty. Obviously, they might be some... smaller book might take a big bet, move their number, balance action, whatever. But for the most part, a lot of these books are just looking at Circa, Las Vegas, BetCris, Pinnacle, and they're shading the lines based off of their clientele. And whenever one of those books moves, they're going to move their number as well.
Well, they also just take it from the, like, it's not DraftKings actually moving lines. They're odds provider, SB Tech, they would have like UK base, US base, and then they just like trade it and assume it. And if they take a big bet on another SB Tech platform, and then technically I guess they could use that as well. But yes, for the most part, 100%.
So the point I'm getting at here is that, especially again, if we go back to the Chris Bennett interview last week, and people like, please check it out. It was, you know, really interesting stuff. But he debunked the myth of the 50-50 action on games. Says don't most of the games, we don't have 50-50 action. We're not trying to get 50-50 action. And when I, you know, a lot of people think that the book's trying to balance the action so that they're guaranteed money no matter what side comes in. And he's like, no, we don't do that. So now knowing that and having consulted for sportsbooks myself and knowing that they do the same thing, the public action doesn't mean anything. They don't care. The number, the public's not going to move the number anyways. So like if he's waiting for the public to take, like it's not going to happen. There's not an influential bet has to come in for the most part for the number to move. The public betting means nothing. You know what I'm saying?
So this guy's literally going to the homepage of the action.
Yeah. Rewind it, because I actually got to hear what he says about getting a little bit amount down at time so the sportsbook will never know it's him.
Way to make it in this business. You kind of, you can't be like, oh, it's all good. I'll get it back. No, you need to kind of suffer and be like, instead of putting 80 hours in this week, I'm putting 85.
Hey, guess what? Always put 85.
Not sleeping.
Always put 90 if it's valuable. Down.
So for me, it's, again, the money's awesome, but it's definitely about the feeling of being right on a Tuesday for a game on a Sunday is the coolest feeling in the world.
Close.
Sometimes it lines.
Okay. The only way you could actually, in theory, be right on Tuesday for a game on a Sunday is if you achieve market close line value.
Correct.
End all be all, end of discussion. If you want to argue, we could do it at another time for anyone, but that's it.
Yep.
Next.
Sometimes lines will open and I'll know literally on a Monday, like that's a trap. The whole public's going to be betting this one side and I'll all week will be betting consistently the other number and I'll just keep getting good value and the sports books will never know it's me.
Close. By nature, what he's saying right now is a contradiction. The value comes in the form of beating the closing line. And whether you want to say, oh, closing line value is not that indicator, at the very end of the day, you do have value because you can arb out pregame at a higher limit and then just make your profit in expected value there. So
yep.
If you have something that is -6 and then that game closes -10, you have value on
tons of value.
You have tons of value because you can arb it out and you can calculate exactly how much value
and
you
have. And some books as well, you could actually cash out your bet for a higher value than you actually placed the bet.
For sure. And that would even be with a VIG, which exactly. Still works. Yeah. So in this scenario, what he's saying is, the game will open, call it Eagles -6 versus the Cowboys. All right, maybe not this year, but Eagles -6 versus the Cowboys. And what he's saying is everyone's going to be on the Eagles. That's going to be a trap game. The public's going to keep coming in on the Eagles. So I'm going to bet the other side slowly. So that means he's going to bet Cowboys +6, okay? Eagles move -7. He's like, I'm getting great value now. Bets +7. So now his +6 underwater. Yeah. +7 neutral. Goes 7.5. Even better value. His +7.5 now neutral. +7 underwater. +6. See ya. He keeps going up. And then he's like, now I just have great value bets. And they're all such small amounts that the sports book will never know it's me. Never know it's you. What? They will gladly take your action on the +6 when they're closing. -9.
Sorry, the sportsbook's really never going to know it's him because they're never going to find
gonna
that
look
account.
Into your account because it's going to be so far in the red. They're going to look. They're going to know it's you because they're going to give you an offer for the VIP program. Keep going.
Such little bets at a time. They won't know that I'm taking advantage of them. So that to me is why I love doing what I do.
I love Athletic Greens, Simon. When you're in those bad moments, the air doesn't taste good or whatever.
Yeah.
Get some Athletic Greens. 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. Simon, you don't look, no offense, you don't look like a guy that eats a lot of vegetables. And I don't mean that from your physique. I just don't picture you eating a lot of vegetables. So let's talk turkey. Okay, I got one more question though.
Yes, please.
So how do they let you do media? And why do they let you do media? Great, like
incredible
this?
Question.
Great question.
Talk about the plays that you like. Is there a negative there? Or I guess They've all already made those plays by the time you say them.
Oh, this is the clip I've seen now. This gets
definitely
good.
That. They already made the plays. And this isn't my real name, which is another reason I'm allowed to get away and do this.
Who cares?
The like biggest irrelevant. Thing is,
pause. Yeah, well, who cares? It doesn't matter if it's his real name
no,
or not.
No, especially when you're putting your old face out there. It's completely irrelevant. It doesn't matter. If you have pull, you have pull. If you're going to say something publicly, who cares if it's your real name?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, that might as well be his real name. It's the same thing.
I could go on the Matchbook podcast this year as Bob Rizzola and start giving out plays. They're still going to move it while I'm talking about them in real time. Like, there's no way around it. If you like, who cares if it's not your real name? It's completely irrelevant. Anyways, keep going.
I pay for all of it. Like, what last year that Mac Jones going fifth overall and Trey going third, I got some really good info about that draft thing. And the guy told me straight up, if you give this out on your show, you got to give me 10% of whatever you win on that. Again, I'm already paying a vig and a juice every time I make a bet.
Now you're paying more.
So I don't do it often, honestly. Like during the season, I'll give out big plays. Those are my own personal plays. But if I get a tip of this other group really liked, what was a really big one for me? Oh, the final week of the year. I had a group that loved the Jaguars. I think they might have been catching 8 at home against the Colts.
Catching like 14.
I gave that on the show. I had to pay a big fee on that. So that's one of those where it's like there's an agreement with these groups, and if I'm going to give out their stuff, of course, I'll always pay it back just because I think pause, any pause, gambler pause. Knows.
We missed too much. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, okay, first of all, if he's going to give out another group stuff, there's a high likelihood that if that group is a successful group,
well, he said it already moved at the beginning.
Yeah, so you're...
Ross asked him, and then he said, he's like, well, why did they do? They already bet? He's like, yeah, they already bet it.
Right. But there's two options here, right?
There's no value on the after move.
Agreed.
If it moved. But it didn't even move. He's not...
It's either it moved, move. And there's no value because they would have kept betting it at that number, or it didn't move, in which case, either they have like a really great operation where they can keep things under wraps, highly unlikely at this point. The amount of back-end PPH access, but we can get into that another day. And or it didn't move and there's no real value. So like that's just like, it's just bad.
I mean, I also don't really understand how he said like, okay, so
he's going to give 10% of his bet. I was fixated on that too.
No. Well, how, and I'm not trying to amount shame because I hate that, but how much are you betting that you're given 20%? Like, I got to calculate the odds. Okay, Rob, talk. I'm going to calculate the odds on if he's betting a minus 10 and he gives out 20%.
But he said 10. He said 10%.
10%.
10%.
So what's he betting? Minus 200?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
no, he doesn't bet favorites.
Well, that's true. Well, no, he occasionally bets favorites. Yeah. But in this scenario, if you're giving out 10% of your bet on a free roll, essentially. So like now, if you lose, you're on the hook for it. But if it wins, like you're giving out the 10% of the win, you're betting a way higher vig than what the original bet is. So it's very possible you don't even have an edge at that number. Now, if it's info-based, like Mac Jones, Trey Lance, okay, sure. There might be an argument where somebody says,
I know this is... Info-based, that actually does happen, and then you do typically would share a slice of the bet.
Correct.
But what he said is, though, is like if you give this out on your show, it would have nothing to do with giving it out on the show. It would have more to do with like, if I'm giving you the info...
Yeah, if somebody messages me and says, hey, you know, Paolo Banchero's going first overall in the NBA draft, get down what you can, I'm going to share, you know, my bet with them.
100%.
That's the way it is.
In some ways, like this part, I know like not completely, but in some ways, it's like he's paying a tout service for picks to give out, to turn around and give out.
I don't know that. He says another group. I don't know what his definition of another group is. This is what causes like so much complexity in this situation. Because if I say another group, me personally, Johnny says another group, these are people that we've had on this podcast before. Guys like Harood and Drew, for example. Like guys that we know are serious bettors that when we get information from them, the you know, it's good info. And they're telling us to bet it at current market number, whatever. That to me is another group. It's not somebody who's selling picks to 100%, you know, a client list of 100. To me, I'm not calling that another group. So that's where the complexity comes in for me.
All right, let's replay back here and see what he says here.
Okay.
Of the Jaguars. I think they might have been catching 8 at home against the Colts. I gave that on the show. I had to pay a big fee on that. So that's one of those where it's like, there's an agreement with these groups. And if I'm going to give out their stuff, of course, I'll always pay it back, just because I think any gambler knows it's kind of a karma based business. Like, you need good karma to make
literally it. Not even a bad karma based.
Pause.
We got
honestly, get back to the other side. I think it's actually the inverse. I think the bigger a scumbag you are, the further you get ahead in the gambling business.
I'll tell you how big of a scumbag I am.
The most of the serious people I know, they may be good people at heart, but ruthless in the gambling business. Let's put it that way. Let's just say if karma was a real thing, most of my inner circle, they wouldn't be.
Would be bust.
Yeah, they would be okay, under a bridge.
I'll break this down quick. So in terms of like giving away a percentage of your bet, now I don't really know exactly what he's saying, as pretty much as with this whole interview. I really have no idea what's going on.
It's a lot of deciphering.
He says if someone gives him a tip, which Jags +8, whatever. As Rob mentioned, he said they're +14.
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to look it up.
It doesn't matter. Let's just say gives it out, Jags +8, and he had Jags +8. So if he's betting Jags +8, if he needs to tip 10% to the guy if he wins the bet and not if he loses the bet, there's literally zero chance it's profitable. Because now, instead of betting -110, instead of laying 110 to win 100, he's laying 110 to win 90. So he has to give up 10% of the winnings. So now he's laying like a, you know, -123, -125. So you can't win on that. That's just dumb. You're never going to win with that. However, he's not clear. If he just is saying, if someone sends me a pick, then I send them back 10% of my bet volume, like they get a 10% cut, win or loss, then I actually suppose that is fine. Like there's no, that wouldn't be crazy. So up to interpretation, but I have no idea what he's saying.
I think this whole interview is up to interpretation.
Yeah, it's really all up to interpretation.
I will say, like, listen, this is not, I'm not the best interviewer in the world. Definitely not. I really wish that I could be in Ross Tucker's chair for this one.
Just to ask him questions. What did he say at the end, though, that we were laughing at? Right at the end.
I don't know.
Rewind this a little.
There's been too much that's happened. That's been.
We have to stop this every 5 seconds with all the content that's jam-packed in here.
Final week of the year. I had a group that loved the Jaguars. I think they might have been catching 8 at home against the Colts. I gave that on the show. I had to pay a big fee on that. So that's one of those where it's
a
like
fee. He probably pays. There's 10% an agreement
with these groups, and some if I'm going to give out fee. Their stuff, of course I'll always pay it back, just because I think any gambler knows it's kind of a karma based business. Like, you need good karma to make it in this business.
Literally, not even at all a karma based business. Literally, a relationship business. Yes.
Yeah.
Which if he means that, it's fair. You definitely have to have good relationships, but it's pretty much a numbers game and a statistical based business.
But also, like, If another group came to you and said, like, we like the Jags +14 against the Colts, final week of the season. What happens if you're like, I also like the Jags, and then you go out and give them
money? It's an honor system. Like, you shouldn't be doing that technically. But the way I see it is, like, what type of fee is he paying? Like, do I pay you? Like, so if you're telling me, like, I like the Jags, I pay you $1,000. I'm never going to be positive if I have to pay you $1,000. But if I give you a percentage, in which is illegal, by the way, but if whatever something happened, then maybe I guess, like, yeah, I'm not diluting my winnings and not my losses. But it seems here like if someone gives him a pick and he gives it on the show, he's got to pay them a lump sum is what it appears. And obviously, quite obviously, you cannot win if you're doing that.
You know what happens with the best football bettors? When someone else gives them a pick, they don't care because they're already a great football bettor. Like, seriously, I can tell you the amount of times on a weekly basis where, you know, I know that opinions of other sharp bettors are opposite of mine. They'll give me a pick. I'd be like, okay, that's great. They're going to go hit the market on this later on in the week. I'll bet the opposite side. Like, most football bettors don't even care about that stuff. I just want to call that out. I'm not saying that you can't value other people's opinions, because you do. There's certain people you don't like. If I notice I'm on the opposite side of X person every single week regularly, that's going to be a cause for concern for me, because I know that person wins at betting the NFL. But occasionally, if someone else is on the opposite side, or they say, I really like this game, but personally, I don't like the game. There's not many pros that are going out to bet that because somebody else told them to. Just want to put that out there.
Fair enough. All right, hit it.
Build good relationships. So I have never gotten out of play where I didn't pay that person for that information or paid back, you know, the people that helped me out in other ways. Again, it's there's so much to get into. Obviously, you don't have time for it, but a lot of my pay is in memorabilia. Like if I kill it in a bet, instead of tipping me cash, a guy will tip me in a Tom Brady rookie card. That's so
awesome. Tip him in a Rob Gronk.
You know what that guy could do is he could tip you in cash, and you can, if you really want to, get the Tom Brady rookie card with the cash. Cash is much more valuable. Because yeah, you mean, can honestly, do whatever you want with again, the cash.
I don't know why. I don't know.
This part made me actually laugh a lot.
This is literally the equivalent of saying, basically it's the equivalent of saying this. Yeah, I work a full-time job. I make a lot of money, but there's so much to get into because I don't get paid in Canadian. I get paid in U.S. dollars. It's literally the equivalent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much to get into, man, because they pay me in euros. So
it's like if I said, you know, Johnny, I really like this team this week and they win. And I came into the office and you're like, Rob, I'm going to get your groceries for this week.
Yeah.
You can charge, instead of charging your car at home on your own power, you could charge in my garage this week.
Like, I owe you $20, but I'm going to get you a lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Equivalent. Same thing.
What? I don't understand this at all. I mean, if he's a big fan of memorabilia, I guess I get it. I don't know, man. I really don't know.
It's pretty funny, man.
It was. This actually, I wish I could have watched this live. I wish I could have actually done like a live reaction.
There's a lot left, no? Or is this done?
There's a little bit more.
Most of it's like, the rest is like futures. Four, like four win total picks, by the way.
And he's giving those out for free. We should watch this.
And they've a bunch of them have already moved okay, too. Click. Any references that they've already
a lot moved? Of stuff like that too. Some people want certain things. You can do a lot of trading of goods for picks. So there's a lot that does go into it, but I always balance out whatever I owe to someone if I give out a plug.
And I trade my Pokemon cards for picks.
All right. So here we are, you know, early mid-July. What are some of the season win totals.
Oh, these are just
picks. You're kind of liking right.
Wait, hold
now.
Up, hold up. I want to see his picks.
Okay. You want to go into them?
So we can go.
We're going to break down his picks too.
I'm going to be one of the few people all year that's going to be pounding this team, but I love the Jaguars coming in.
Literally not season. One of the few people.
I'm looking at a team that
literally entire market is
going
steamed
from the
over.
Worst coaching hire in football to Doug Peterson, who I think is a brilliant coach, a man that knows how to coach up young talent and knows how to run a really good offense. So
I don't want to.
I'm getting Jackson.
I'm sorry. I can't go through this.
I'm sorry. I said
I actually agree with a couple things that he said in these picks things, but it's irrelevant because the numbers have moved so significantly on two of his win totals that it's like you would be insane to bet it now. Actually, you'd be an insane person to bet.
We got to make some circles off bets between me and you.
I'd love to fire some bets.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like we got to fire some bets between me and you and then keep a scoreboard. Like, for example, a thing would be like we just fire off a wager on like if we think the picks he gives out on the show are going to be a net winner or a net loser.
That's interesting.
And then we just fire him off. We can even keep him on a board.
We could do whatever. It's very entertaining. If you want to listen to the picks, you can listen
this
to that.
This has been episode 61.
No, 62.
62.
But, there's so much. There's a lot of background. I think we covered this before. I think we did a segment on Simon Hunter on this podcast before. We're 62 episodes deep now. I don't remember what we've done.
No, we did. We did the one about him giving out the thing where he said he only buys the half point on his biggest bets, but not if he's going to bet $10,000.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, he said if it's going to be $10,000, of course he's going to buy a half point.
Yeah.
Bang $10,000.
Of course. Your biggest edge, you're going to bet the most money. He also did a segment, which...
The duffel bag.
The duffel second bag. Duffel bag. The duffel bag.
I mean, listen.
He gives his runners $5,000.
That's him?
In duffel bags, yeah.
No way.
That's him, yeah. It's the same. Yeah, I think we aired that clip.
Yeah, that's him.
I don't know if
we literally have to have him on the show. There's no other way. We have to have him on and let him rebuttal all the points we make, and then let's see if we can get some actual clear understanding on like...
I'm literally in the process of messaging him right now.
Producer Zach, please message him see if we can actually get him on the
show. If not, at least Chad Millman at the Action Network as well. Because like Chad puts this guy on. I have no problems with Chad Millman personally. I know, whatever. but someone has to explain this to me, because there was way too much going on here. That was just
like, it was too much. I still don't know what's going on. I wish I just watched the clips, because I thought that I'm like, oh, I don't really know what's going on, because I'm watching only the clips, but the full video, not really painting a clearer picture.
What this actually really reminds me of is if I went up to one of my friends, like a close friend of mine that, let's say, bets on sports, understands betting, and I said to them, hey, like 9 a.m., I told them in the morning, 5 p.m. today, you're doing an interview and you got to pretend that you're a pro better. This is how I would expect them to answer questions. There's no clarity on anything. It's just a bunch of rambling. By the way, I don't use my real name for the podcast either. That's how my betting partners allow me to do circles off and give away information. I don't use my real name. My real name is Pepino Cocuzzo.
What's he talking about? All right. I mean, how long have we been running this, Zach?
An hour.
Too long. Time to wrap it up. We got some good stuff coming up over the rest of the summer. Obviously, as we get into football season here, we'll be bringing on some more football guests, and we're going to do some strategy as well, getting into survivor picks, which a lot of people are into, how to fill out those weekly picks contests as well for the Stale Lions pools. Got a lot of good stuff coming up. If you enjoyed this episode, please thumbs up on YouTube or rate and review 5 stars wherever you're listening to it. Please also hit that subscribe bell. Is it a bell now? It's a button.
There's a button for notifications.
Thank you, Zach. Notifications. Yeah, All right. But this has been episode number 62. Jason Kelsey of Circles Off.
Signing off, as I always say, ride the wave or get out of the water.